Hello and welcome to the Help My Unbelief podcast, the number one Christian podcast designed for the unbeliever. Welcome to episode 13 of the Help My Unbelief podcast. Larry, how are you doing today?
Isn't that awesome? Yes. I'm excited as all get out.
Dude, this gets more and more fun every week, doesn't it?
I really expected you to ask me why.
Why, Larry?
See, that's how it works, right?
Yeah.
Because I just found out that we're going to have a Phil Wickham concert here at Discovery.
Really?
Again, yes. I don't know the date right now. I mean, it's written down, but I just got that, and I thought.
I heard that, and I also heard he's going to have me open for him.
That's awesome. That's even better.
Yeah. Do you want to hear up, like, I can only imagine. Did you hear that? You think he'll have me open
that's
for him?
That's not Phil Wickham. That's Mercy Me.
Oh, but did you hear that? Do you think I'm good enough to open for Phil Wickham, though?
Oh, I thought you were going to do the microphones like you are going to do at our men's conference.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be talking.
DJ, not DJ.
MC.
MCN.
MC, yep.
I knew it was an initial. I just didn't know which one.
Well, that's just because I'm super witty and smart, quick-headed, all that stuff.
Well, you're also short enough that you can reach the microphone that they got up there.
That's messed up, dude. That's messed up. You're crazy.
See, they had to use a boom mic for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Your knees are going bad. You'll probably be as tall as me five, 10 years from now.
If I'm on my knees, I am taller.
Dude, I was making clips from that last episode, and I was cracking up so much. I was like, why does Larry still waddle like a penguin?
I know.
It's fun. We're having a lot of fun doing this thing, man. We're so grateful to be able to do this. It's so much. It's fun, isn't it? Is this anything?
It actually is. It's a lot more fun than I anticipated.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I look forward to it because this is a way of witnessing for me.
Yeah.
And I do look forward to it each week.
It's
I've blocked this time off for it. I don't put anything in front of it, and it's to serve God. So why would I not enjoy it?
Yeah. People are starting to ask for longer episodes too. So
they want to hear me talk more?
No, probably not you, but probably the guest.
Okay.
Probably not me either, if we're being honest. But so today we have Audrey coming on the show. Audrey is a former Satanist, and now she's a Christian, okay?
That's fantastic.
Yes, but the caveat to that is we like to have people on here that doesn't agree with the same things that we agree with, right? But so she believes in something called universal reconciliation, which means that, okay, here goes Larry. He's writing stuff down. He's like, I don't know what that is. Universal reconciliation means she believes that everyone is saved no matter what they do. So even the atheist, even the agnostic, even the current Satanist and stuff like that, she believes they're already saved. So we're going to have a talk with her. I've already spoken to her. She has her own podcast. We're going to get the name of that from her. That way you can go watch her show. But she's a sweetheart, and it's going to be a fun conversation. Just kind of get why she thinks that, and maybe we can toss a couple ideas back and forth and just have a civil conversation with her. So
technically, I do agree that that is a possibility.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And then later in the conversation, we'll kind of go there.
Yeah, the whole world can be reconciled to Christ, right, because of his work on the cross.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Amen. And then me and Larry went on, last night, we went on a podcast called...
Monday night.
It's Monday night, sorry.
And to them, it would be like... Be a week.
Yeah, a week or something, but it doesn't matter. It's already out. So this podcast is called Two Pagans in a Pod. It's a podcast that is hosted by Norse Pagans, and we went on their show. And it was by Fro and Beard, right? Was their name?
Fro and Beard.
Dude, they're actually like really cool guys, man.
I am thinking about, I mean, because I was like watching Beard's.
Yeah.
Beard?
Yeah.
You know, while he was talking and while he was stroking it, and I'm thinking it'd be a really great idea for me to grow my beard out that far so I could, you know, when I'm talking, I could look distinct while I'm, does that work? I just don't want to have to shave my head and look like the rest of you guys.
I would prefer not. I would prefer you not to grow out your beard.
And not to grow my beard
Because
out?
Here's the deal. You're super lazy about stuff, and you'd come in with food in it. Probably like a live animal would be in it.
Yeah, no, you can't. No. I am fastidious in my cleanliness.
I don't know what the word fastidious is, so you're obviously smarter than me, too. So I don't know. But yeah, you could grow your beard out. That'd be cool.
I mean, I can't even stand dirt underneath my fingernails.
And what do you talk about like my hair? I've got a full head of hair. Hold on, look.
Yeah, you do. For now.
Now there's a bald spot up there.
For now.
And the hair that's there might be, you know, taking a little travel. It has travel plans, right? But I don't know.
Yes.
So anyway, yep, let's go ahead and get to our guest. Her name's Audrey, former Satanist, Universal Reconciliation. I think this is going to be a real fun show, and I'm excited about it. Before we get to our guest, though, just like always, we want to offer you to go check out Discovery Church online. And if you are in Oklahoma City, great. Come to Discovery Church. But if you're not, then...
900 East Main in UConn.
Yeah. But if you're not, I ask that you go to Discovery Church OKC or Discovery Church UConn on YouTube or Facebook and check out their service every Sunday, man. It's literally... I love this church, and I don't know where I'd be in my Christian walk without it. So,
yeah, and we're having revival nights the next two Sundays.
Yeah. Oh, you know that church that's
okay,
having...
Okay, wait a minute. It'd be one Sunday after this comes
You know
up.
That church in, like, Washington or Kentucky?
Yes, we actually
Asbury.
Talked about it at Ambassador's today.
Yeah, Asbury's having that revival, so we're not going to do what they're doing, but we are going to have our own little revival. Yeah,
man,
so.
I would love it for the Holy Spirit to break out here and have a revival like they're doing now.
Dude, I would do it.
They're at 120 hours right now, nonstop, 120 hours. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, my buddy...
That's over 4 days.
One of the online... ministers, Ryan Foley, I've told you about him before. He's on his way over there. And I was like, man, if I had the money, I'd go right now. I'd go. I for real would. You'd go with me too, wouldn't you?
Of course I would.
Yeah, that'd be so much fun to go down there.
My
and
clients
just be a
would
part
be a
that.
Little upset, but I would go.
Yeah, it is what it is. Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. Let's go ahead and get to Audrey. What do you say?
Yeah, that works for me.
Audrey.
Hello.
Is this Audrey?
Yes. Hi.
Hey, Audrey. It's Zach with the Help My Unbelief podcast.
Yes.
I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah, same. Also very nervous, but...
Why?
Why are you nervous?
It's my first time being interviewed, you know.
Oh, really? So I have you had a chance to watch it? By the way, we're recording. We just go.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry about being interviewed. Just have a conversation with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you watched any of our shows?
Yeah, well, not fully, like not all the way through. I saw your TikTok
clip. Well, you probably understand then that there's no reason to be nervous to talk to us because this is not a Christian apologetics podcast. We are not going to try to back you into a corner and then swipe in and chop your head off or anything like that. I mean, we interview
witches.
Well, that
was gruesome. That was a gruesome description.
I know. We'll probably get banned for it, honestly, but it is what it is. Wow. I'll probably cut it out. But like,
now I'm getting nervous.
But like, here with me, by the way, is my co-host, Larry.
Hi, Aubrey.
And then my executive producer is out of the office. Normally it's Mark is in here, but he's gone today. And I've got my lovely wife, Angela, at the director seat today. So.
Hello.
Nice. Hello.
I did hear you. That I did intend to say Audrey, but I had a piece of ice in my mouth, and it came out Aubrey.
All right. Okay. That's,
yeah. So I apologize.
It doesn't bother me, but I just figured for the sake of the call, you don't keep calling me Audrey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can't mess up Larry, so.
Well, it's just something that old people do, right? Like, my name is Zach. My name's Zach, and people are like, old people are like, Jack! So, just, you'll have to excuse Larry. He's a senior citizen.
Yes.
But we'll get through it.
Oh, my God. He seemed pretty on the ball when I was watching some of those videos, so.
Yeah, he's great. Hey, can you turn her audio up a little bit or something? She's down. Or, I don't know, what kind of system are you on, Audrey?
I have you guys on speaker. I was just about to ask how my audio sounds.
It sounds a little off. That's what I don't know if that's on your end or ours.
Okay.
It sounds better now.
I turned her up over here.
Okay, we're good. Yeah, she got you turned up. Okay. So we'll just go ahead and start. I've kind of given the audience a little bit of what you are basic. So you are a former Satanist, and then you believe in universal reconciliation. That's the basis that we've given them. And okay. I also say you have a podcast, right? What's the name of your podcast?
I do, yeah. It's called the Eat Me, Drink Me podcast, where the tagline is experiencing Jesus's Wonderland.
Oh, so you're talking about communion.
Yeah, it's a reference to communion, but there's also parallels of like the Alice in Wonderland theme and how she ate and drank to be able to enter into Wonderland. And so I think it's like my third episode, or maybe my first episode, is explaining why I use that, because I just felt led to by Jesus to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's about how I hope to inspire people to follow Holy Spirit as Alice followed the white rabbit, but into Jesus's Wonderland.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And so so far I've just done a lot of interviews, and I've done a few where I do some teaching, and I've done a few where I do some kind of like meditative things, or like affirmations, or, you know, just meditating on the scriptures.
Yeah. So let's dive into the former Satanist part first. I want to go into that. So were you a theistic Satanist or an atheistic Satanist?
I was an atheistic Satanist.
Okay. And so do you follow the practices of Anton LaVey?
Well, so actually I didn't follow anybody. I just am considered that because of how I use Satan and the Baphomet and pentagram as symbols, you know, of rebellion against religious constructs and societal constructs. And I was gothic and everything. And so all of that really, it was just kind of my style.
Can I ask you a question kind of candidly?
Yeah, you can ask me anything. I'm an open book. You can't offend me. So yeah, just shoot.
Well, yeah, don't challenge me. No, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. How can you be an atheist and yet believe in Satan? Because it's like, you know, in the simplest of terms, God stands for good, Satan stands for bad. How can you believe in the bad, but you don't believe in the good? I'm unclear on that. So because of what we're doing, we've come up with theist Satanist, and we've come up with atheist Satanist. And that was a question that came in my head, and I haven't asked it, and you seem nice enough to answer it.
Yeah, so, we've never had an atheistic Satanist on. We're right. Having a hard time getting them on. So a former atheistic Satanist is the best we've got. So.
Right. But I just kind of clarify that for me, if you would, please, Audrey.
Yeah. Well, from what it was like for me, now I think that, yeah, it doesn't make sense. But it's because we used Satan as, or I used Satan as a symbol. So basically just an icon to say, you know, screw your constructs and I want to offend you. I want to rub it in your face on how much I don't agree with you, but yet I can still be a good person. I don't have to believe in a God to be a good person. And because Satan is a symbol of rebellion, it kind of flows into that. Now, some people, they take it more so into following the seven tenets of atheistic Satanism, where it's like a moral code and it's all about self and things like that. I never got into that. So I basically just considered myself a Satanist in the sense of how I use the symbol of Satan all the time. Like, I wore Baphomets on my clothes, on jewelry. I had pentagrams on everything. I did upside down crosses all the time on my artwork. I wore them as jewelry. I did makeup like that. So I didn't believe in Satan. I didn't believe in God. But because I was so against religion and against Jesus and Christians, I wanted to offend them. And so being a Satanist was like the ideal thing, you know.
It's more of like an antagonistic position. That yeah, the whole yeah, atheistic
I'm picking that up.
Yeah, the atheistic Satanist religion is more of like a like and that's the ones that take it very seriously, right? They do it to antagonize Christians, basically, to say like,
was your mom a Christian by chance?
No, not really. I mean, like, she was in and out of church. She was hurt by the church when she was really young. So was my dad. Now my grandparents on both sides, they were Christians, and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, but I didn't go to church all the time. I didn't grow up around that, and even the type of Christianity that my grandparents were, there was no power in it, and it was all talk at the time. Now, thankfully, it's awesome. My grandparents, I get along with my grandparents so well because they've all come into just experiencing more of God's grace and goodness, you know, and it's less of religion to them, and it's become more relationship.
Well, I was going to ask you if that strained your relationship with your grandparents, you know, because, I mean, even mine, just listening to rock and roll and growing my hair real long, you know, I loved my grandpa, hung out with him I hung out with him a lot. But he would still give me a problem about my long hair. And then I didn't smoke around him, but he knew that I smoked because he could smell it on me. And as an idiot kid, I didn't think anybody could smell it because I couldn't, you know, but, but, through that, it created an issue there. But my grandfather didn't come to Christ until later on in his life. My grandmother always was a Christian as long as my life was there. Matter of fact, she was actually an ordained minister. So coming down through that framework, when I acted out with any of that, you know, like Blue Oyster Cult or Black Sabbath music or any of that stuff, there was quite a bit of animosity toward me. They didn't like beat me up or anything, but they, you know, they were verbal about their not liking it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I did have, quite a bit of that. Like one of my grandmas, I painted my nails black and she called me the devil's child.
Yeah, she could have handled that a little bit better. But.
Yeah. I feel like that probably going from 0 to 60 of just painting your nails black.
Well, I got to admit, I grew my fingernails out and filed them down to a point, but I never really liked the black fingernail polish thing.
Was it just the opponent was wearing fingernail polish that was the thing?
Yeah.
So did you have any spiritual experiences while you were in Satanism? Did you have any spiritual experiences with like Satan or God, either one, while you were practicing that?
No, not really. So because as an atheistic Satanist, I wasn't practicing anything. It was more so like I just dressed a certain way and the type of art and just that culture that I associated with. However, I had friends that supposedly did have encounters with Satan. They had other spiritual encounters. I never did. I grew up with my mom. Like I would sit around the campfire with my mom and her friends while they were all drinking beer, with them talking about their encounters with angels, weird things that they couldn't explain, aliens, you know, conspiracy theories, ghosts was a big thing that I grew up hearing about. And so I always kind of craved to have those experiences, but I just never did. Anytime I tried, I never did. And so that's what landed me into being an atheist.
Gotcha. Okay. So you were wanting it and it just didn't happen. So you were like, oh, well, this isn't real then, which is, you know, understandable. So, okay. So What was the tipping point for you to made you believe in God? Because something, if you were that angry at God or if you're that angry at religion altogether, something must have happened for you to flip that switch and become a Christian.
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay, so see if I can do a condensed version here.
It doesn't have to be. We got all the time we need. No condensed version. You give us what happened.
Okay. Well, I feel like to start with, I was working at Ulta and made friends with this coworker, and she had invited me to go to church with her. And her boyfriend, they both dressed very alternative, kind of, they were kind of gothic.
Yeah.
But they went to church, and they invited me to go with them. So I was like, okay, they go to church? Sure, I'll go check it out. So I went, and it was just a small church in the shopping center, and like almost everyone had tattoos and piercings, and they had like skulls all over the place. Not like actual skulls, but like painted on the walls and that kind of thing. And gauges and in their ears and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, who are these people? Like, I have never met Christians like this.
Yeah.
And then they started talking about the power of God and miracles. The pastor would share about times that he helped deliver people from demons, or he saw miracles, and then they would pray for people in the church, and supposedly, you know, people were getting healed. And it was just a whole different side of Christianity that I had never been exposed to. And not only that, but they looked like me. And so that alone kind of helped me put down my guard, because I was used to being mocked and made fun of because of how I dress by Christians.
And so the reason why you probably hated Christianity before was because you were given a watered down version, and you wanted something more. And then you go to this church and you're like, oh wow, these people are filled with the Holy Spirit. But you didn't realize that at the time, probably, but that's what was happening, right?
Exactly. because I, you know, growing up hearing all these stories that my mom had about her encounter, hearing about her encounters and her friends' encounters and stuff. And then I had friends that had their own encounters, and not with God. None of them ever said that it was an encounter with God. Even if they talked about angels, it was almost always like the angels love them more than God does, you know, like the angels are intervening, like never thinking or realizing that, you know, they intervene on God's behalf.
Yeah.
But anyways, see, where were they going with that? When I was 10, my mom got me the Matrix movie and for my birthday, and I sat down and watched it, and my jaw was like on the floor most of that movie. And when it was over, I just was totally ruined for the rest of, you know, whenever, up until I actually met Jesus, that movie spoke to me in such a way where I was like, this, there's a lot of truth to this. There's got to be something greater that I'm meant to be a part of, but I don't know what it is. And so then I started looking, you know, but then over time became very bitter because, like I said, I wasn't experiencing anything for myself. Going to this church, they talked about the power of God, and my family at the time, me growing up, when I heard them talk about God, it was usually in a very judgmental sense. You know, that he was judging the world. If there was a natural disaster, you know, God's destroying them, God's judging them, kind of a thing. Another one of my grandma, we went to go see my dad when he was in prison, and he was showing me his new tattoos. And I had gotten a new tattoo, and she started crying and got up and left. And well, before she left, she said something about, like, you know, us going to hell, and how it just made her so sad, you know. And then she got up and left because she couldn't stand sitting there seeing us talk about our demonic tattoos.
Right.
Not just that they were demonic because they were tattoos, but, I mean, my dad literally has demons tattooed on his body. And then I had a skull and crossbones that I was showing them.
Yeah. Well, it's probably more like they don't think the tattoo itself is going to send you to hell, but it's more of like they probably think that's the path you're on, right? And that's a symbol of the path that you're on or whatever.
It's possible. You know, I have heard some Christians say that, you know, people can go to hell for having tattoos because it says that you shouldn't tattoo your body, you know. But then they don't realize that the very next verse says that you shouldn't shave your sideburns either.
Yeah. And well, and it says there's only one person that I talked to that had a tattoo that made me be like, I for sure think God would not be okay with that. And I was speaking to a pagan witch that had her son's ashes tattooed into her body.
Oh.
And I was like, I mean, she's a pagan witch, obviously. Yeah. So obviously her compass of right and wrong is pointed a little different direction than ours. But she says she had her son's ashes tattooed in her body. And I was like, okay.
I've never heard of that before. Wow.
Yeah, me neither until then. And I was like, whoa, okay.
That's the first time I heard about it.
Yeah. Yep. Do you remember that? Yeah, it was on TikTok Live, to be honest with you.
Oh, cool.
Yep. And she, man, it just kind of made me go, okay, I don't think there's any world that we live in that would be okay. Right.
Yeah. And Aubrey, I have tattoos and I'm not going to hell. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. So it's okay to have tattoos.
Oh, I was waiting on the testimony part.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I got tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
I got tattoos. We got Larry over there. He's got tattoos. I mean, yeah. Listen, what we do in our stupidity doesn't always, sorry.
I thought this was on Do Not Disturb.
Just hit, can't talk.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, Audrey.
Sorry about that, Aubrey. Audrey.
That's okay.
told you, old people. Yeah,
I mean, it was a rarity in my youth, which was in the other century. But there was a lot of preachers that had been in the Navy even then that had Navy tattoos. And of course they wore long sleeve shirts when they preached and stuff. And it was mm-hmm. a rarity, but I knew several of them growing up with them or growing up around them that at times, you know, when we were doing work on the church or something, I'd just see them with a short sleeve shirt and thought, whoa, you know,
yeah,
that's unbelievable, you know, but
well,
I think no matter what we do, God can forgive us.
Yeah, and you got to understand, too, a lot, you know, back then, Christians were very intolerant, and they still are. I say Christians, but some Christians were intolerant, and probably more back then. There's still those people around. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the video I posted last night, but I was reading in Luke in my Bible study yesterday. And there was this Bible study where Jesus said that, you know, he's talking about in the end times that he will come like a bolt of lightning. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what he said, but he says, I'm going to come like a bolt of lightning and it's going to light up the sky or whatever. Well, a couple days ago in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, that giant Jesus statue they have.
Yeah.
It got struck by lightning.
Really?
Yeah, and I have a picture of it. Well, I had already known that happened a couple days ago where it got struck by lightning and they have pictures of it. I already known that it happened. And then I read that Bible verse in Luke and I go, like I kind of tripped out a little bit, you know? Well, I posted a video just opening it up for conversation. I didn't say I was taking a stance that I think we're in the end days or anything else like that. I was like, what do you guys think? This is creepy at the very least, but what do you think, you know? Put your thoughts in the comments or whatever. And this person came in there and goes, I'm a pastor and you are a false prophet. He said, I'm a pastor and you are a false prophet for posting this. And I'm like, for having a conversation about a Bible verse, I'm a false prophet. I was like, you guys are just intolerant, man. You guys are, some Christians are waiting for people to make a mistake so they can condemn you to hell. And I'm telling you, bro, Jesus isn't proud of you, bro, for doing that. You know what I mean? Don't get me started on that. Don't get me started on that.
He gets a little fired up on that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's true. And when you have a heart of compassion for people because you've come out of darkness, it is a fiery topic, you know, because it's a passionate topic. Because
unfortunately, the way that a lot of churches do that judgmental thing, it's correct, but it's not correct, okay? We are to tell you when you know, we're to teach you the right way, okay? I understand that, but it can be done in love. It doesn't have to be done in condemnation, which is what Satan uses. If it's the Holy Spirit convicting you, then that's the correct way. Now note that. I said the Holy Spirit convicts you. I didn't say Larry convicts you or Zach convicts you.
Yep.
That's judging, and we have to be careful. If God gives me the word to share with Zach about something that he is doing or experiencing, and I share that in love, then I am correcting him biblically, but I am not condemning him to hell for his sin.
Yeah.
Because I live in sin. Yeah. Everybody does.
And if it was Larry telling me, I'd probably just tell him to kick rocks anyway, to be honest with you. Actually, no, I go to him advice about everything. I act tough when I'm in here, but most of the time it's me crying to him on the phone. Like, why is God doing this? Does God hate me? Can you tell me if God hates me?
God does not hate you.
Okay, back to Audrey. What was the radical transition? You're at this church. You had a radical transition. Yeah.
And I started to, I was just open more, you know, I was open more to hearing them preach. And he talked a lot about, like Jesus coming back and his robe being dipped in blood and like all this really intense stuff too. And like, even if your grandma who makes you cookies your whole life hasn't repented, you know, she's going to burn in hell forever.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hit you pretty hard.
Intense stuff, but I was still so open to hearing this, you know, turn or burn and fire and brimstone gospel. And he was an ex-Nazarene, or he was raised Nazarene, and then turned non-denominational. So I would listen to them, and I would go there pretty often, and I felt just, I don't know, just something was sparked in me. Well, then I ended up, and I was in a very abusive relationship at the time, and I started to get convicted about us living together and sleeping together. And that conviction led to me telling him, like, I don't want to do this anymore. I feel like it's wrong. And then that made it even worse, to the point of us almost killing ourselves a few times. And I finally had like the faith that I should leave him. And so when I did that, I got a call from one of my best friends that I hadn't talked to in a while. And he wanted to come up and visit me. And so he was coming, and I had always hoped that I could be with him, and he had wanted to be with me, but we always like missed each other, and we were in other relationships at the, you know, the wrong time. Anyway, so we ended up getting together, and then he was in the army, and I, even as an atheist, I don't know why, but this is pretty funny. I said that if that relationship went bad, like the abusive one that I was in, and if it ended, that I was either going to become, I was either going to join the army or become a nun, even though I was an atheist. And yeah. I was serious. I don't know why, but.
Atheist, I'm saying this out loud so I can grasp the concept. You as an atheist was choosing a convent.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well,
give me the army that, you know, people shoot at me.
Well, I think it was an overall stance of like, hey, if I get out of this and get away from this crazy son of a gun, then I'm never giving myself to another man again. That's probably what it was more like, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, well, I was just trying to wrap my mind around that.
Yeah.
I mean, two very extremes, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. That was just something that I said to myself. Well, then, you know, I get with my best friend and he's in the army, and I was like, okay, well, I'll join the army too. And they convinced us that if we both got married, we both would make a lot of money. And we were like, well, we've wanted to be together for years. We're best friends. So why not? So we got married in secret. I had one friend that was there to witness it. And we said that we would have a wedding when I graduated basic training to invite all of our friends and family. Well, 5 weeks into basic training, also to add to this, he believed that you are your own God. So he also was a Satanist, like atheistic Satanist. And he tried to show me things like the Zeitgeist documentary. And he was trying to like inform me about how Jesus isn't, you know, God and this kind of stuff. But he also wasn't trying to make me feel bad about it or make me feel stupid about it either. He loved that I was happy. So he would even go to this church with me.
Oh.
And he even had went up after one of the teachings and told the pastor that he was grateful or thankful to him or something for like being his genuine self, and that he'd never met a preacher or a Christian like him, you know? So oh, wow. He was very kind. Yeah. He was very kind, very loving person. Even though we both were into extremely dark stuff, and like our goal in going to the army wasn't even because we were patriotic. I was actually anti-military back then, but I just was like, I'm going to use it for my own benefit. And we said that we would use the military for their benefits, and we were going to become cinematographers and movie directors. So I did a lot of makeup artistry, and he did too, but he was more so into like videography, whereas I was into cinematography. And so we talked about becoming like the next Rob Zombie and, you know, his wife, and making horror movies and stuff.
Okay, gotcha. And
how long were you in the Army?
Well, it's kind of a part of the story. I was only in there for 5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was in basic training for 5 weeks. And during that time, I didn't care about listening to anything about God anymore. Because I just felt, I started to feel like, okay, if he doesn't need God, then I don't either. I'm probably just been swindled into considering the whole thing. And I started to like let go of it. Well, then 5 weeks go by and I get woken up in the middle of the night around 11:30 by my drill sergeant in a fancy uniform. And they're telling me that I need to get my battle buddy and go downstairs. So they take me downstairs. And they tell me that he had died.
Oh.
And that they didn't know what happened at the time. So then, and I had torn my Achilles tendon. And so I was on this thing they call profile. So I couldn't like do all the exercising and things like that, you know, they required of us. Anyway, so they honorably discharged me. And they said that if I wanted to ever come back to the Army, then I could. So yeah. They honorably discharged me. I leave and we don't know what happened to him. Well, then, you know, there were lots of different things going on. He's at Fort Hood, and Fort Hood is like so bizarre.
That's in Lawton, right?
It's in Colleen and Temple area.
Texas. Colleen, Texas. Yeah. Okay.
That's Fort Sill. Yeah. Lawton is Fort Sill.
Sorry, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. I really am though. But okay, go ahead.
I'm an idiot. That's okay. Anyway, so yeah. I didn't know if he was killed. I didn't know if he died in a car accident. Didn't know anything. Well, then his dad was told that they found him dead on his bed. So we thought somebody killed him. And then I ended up meeting with the investigator a while later. And he said that they found him. I don't know how, I probably should get too graphic. But anyways, he accidentally killed himself in the middle of making the type of artwork that we would do. Is like we would fix ourselves up to look like zombies, or like we've been murdered, or like we were, you know, some kind of just horrific scene. And that's what he was doing.
I'm interested. How did it happen? How did it happen?
He was taking, so he had the camera set up in his closet to like go off every few seconds. That's what we would do when we would take our own pictures.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have anything there to take pictures of you, you just set it on a timer. So he had it set up and he was taking pictures of himself hanging. And the investigator said that by the time he would have realized that by the time he would have wanted to stand up, he had lost circulation in his leg.
Yeah, it only takes about 4 seconds. I used to be a police officer and I've worked cases like that before. If you put your weight down, because there had been times where I worked cases where it looked like the person had hung themselves, and they could have stood up at any time, and I just had a really hard time understanding why, whenever you're feeling that uncomfortability, why you wouldn't just stand up. And I said, well, I learned that, you know, ME or medical examiner would come by and say that if you're putting weight on something that's going around your neck, it only takes about 4 seconds to lose consciousness. And then by the time you lose consciousness, then, you know.
Yeah. And for some people, they do it as like a turn on thing.
Yeah.
And yep. So, yeah. And so he said, like, you know, and that could have been very possible too. I don't know, but I do know that he had the camera set up. And when I heard that, I knew what he was doing. You know, up to this point, I thought, why would he kill himself? He was right. He wrote me multiple times a week, and he was so encouraging to me. And I actually became depressed while I was in basic training. And he just was always just flooding me with life and just praise and like encouragement. So then to hear that like he killed himself, But the investigator, you know, found the camera and was like, we don't know why this is in there. Anyways, so I explained to him, you know, that that's just what we do. I know it's weird, but that's just what we did. And yeah. So, okay, that led to me.
Basically an accidental suicide.
Yeah.
I think that's, I don't want to speak out of turn. I think that's what happened to Robin Williams.
Oh, really?
I think so. Yeah, I would have to Google it, but I mean, don't quote me, but allegedly, I think that's what happened to Robin Williams, I think.
What about David?
Koresh?
Kung Fu.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we could just go down the, we can Google it real quick.
No, I mean, that's how he died in Japan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, so now, yeah, now this has happened. This is probably one of the darkest moments in your whole life. You're hurting. Yeah. So now what?
Yeah, and I was 18. Or no. Sorry, I was 19. So okay. I was a 19-year-old woman.
Okay.
Finally, with the love of my life, as far as I knew. And then now he's, like, taken away from me, right?
Yeah.
And so for the next month, I, like, did anything I could get my hands on. I got drunk anytime I could get drunk. I got high anytime I could. Whereas before, because of me being raised by a drug addict father and him being in and out of prison, and my mom, she was a sex addict and addicted to cigarettes and drinking and stuff. You know, I just saw how it put us into poverty. There's just a lot that I saw in that. And so even though I was an atheist, I was gothic, I was into black metal and dark stuff, like I didn't do any of that. I didn't do drugs. I hated drugs. And I only drank and smoked cigarettes socially. Just because, you know, everyone's doing it, and but I would hardly ever get drunk. Anyway, so after this happened, I just dove it all in, just trying to numb my pain. And after a month of that, my grandpa invited me to go with him to the mountains. They have a cabin in Colorado and invited me to go with them. They go seasonally. And so I went with them. And for some reason, I had packed a Bible. I was reading Twilight, and I, for some reason, put the Bible in there too. And I remember just thinking, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just put it in my bag. And it was, I only had the Bible because when I was 17, I was friends with a girl I went to school with, and her parents were the only Christians that I was, you know, to me, were the only Christians that had actually shown me the love of Jesus. Now, I know my grandparents prayed for me, and they probably were sincere and all of that. And I appreciate that, you know, now that I've grown in my walk with God. But at the time, they were the only people to me that had ever shown me the love of Jesus.
It honestly sounds like, just listening to you, because there's a lot of, like, coincidences that are happening, or coincidental stuff that you, it almost seems like you were almost, I don't want to say robotic in incidences, but it sounds like to me that God was literally, has always been orchestrating your life,
mm-hmm.
which is probably all of our lives. That's what he does, right? Exactly. Even though we have like free will, we're being orchestrated in one way or another by him, being pulled one way or the other. I mean, I don't know how much I believe in like predestination and all that other stuff, but I have seen part, like what, how she's talking, I can identify with some portions of that, to where I felt like God was orchestrating me through situations, you know?
Yeah. After getting to know him more and more, still to this day, it's been 14 years, and he will highlight a memory, and he's showing me how he was there in that.
Yeah.
And it just always blows my mind, you know, and I think that is the case. I truly believe that is the case for anybody, but it's a matter of our perspective. And when we're focused on all the negative stuff, that's what you see. You don't see God's hand in any of it.
Okay. So, so take me to where, you basically, came out of the darkness and you started believing. Take me to that moment. And then I want to get into the universal reconciliation thing.
All right. So I was in the mountains with my grandpa, and we've been talking about all kinds of different theories, like having different planets when we die. He was telling me about that kind of stuff, talking about aliens and just all these different possibilities and things. Well, one night I got a phone call from the military, and they were saying that, anyways, it doesn't matter. I got some really bad news, and it just broke me. even more. It just kind of added to everything else that was going on. And I was sitting outside under the stars and I just started crying. And I was just like, just this rage built up in me. And I just started cussing at God. And I was like, you know, you're not real. You can't be real. Like, F you, because, you know, this happened and why this and why that. And then in that moment, in like middle of me cussing him out, I heard him say, if I'm not real, then why do you curse me?
Yeah.
You know, not audibly, bingo. But it was like, you know, it wasn't me, but it was like within me, you know, it was like, yeah, still some voice, you know, and that just like, it was met with so much power. Like, the words were simple, but there was so much power, and my life flashed before my eyes, and all the stuff that I was blaming him for, he started, like, I saw that he was actually there with me, and that it wasn't his will for any of those things to happen to me.
Wow.
And in that moment, I worshiped God for the first time ever. Nobody had to teach me how to do it. I didn't pray a prayer. All that happened is that I saw that God is good.
Yeah. In one moment. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, and that's scripture. Like, it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. You know, and repentance is metanoia. It's a change of the mind. And that is what happened to me. And from that moment on, it was just a constant, like, experience like that. Like, hearing Holy Spirit's voice leading me, guiding me, putting me in the right place at the right time. So many things that I was bound in were just, they just fell off of my life. And wow. So that was in 2008.
Wow. I love that. That's a crazy story. And so you say that, like, a lot of things that you're into just fell off. Like, you were delivered from multiple things right then.
Yeah. And I knew that there was a shift, but I wasn't exactly sure what it was or what all had shifted until I came back home. I just had this urge, like, I felt like I need to go back home. I need to get a job. I need to start working on stuff. And so I went back home and moved in with my aunt, and she wanted to watch this movie that was not even a horror movie. It was just kind of like a weird, suspenseful, bizarre sci-fi movie or something. And I had been wanting to watch it for a while, but I just was never able to. So I was really excited to finally watch this movie. And as I'm watching it, I felt so disturbed. Like, my gut was just like, ah, you know?
Yeah.
I just felt so weird, but I didn't know what was going on. So I forced myself to continue watching it. And when it was over, I said out loud, what is this? That's where I was like, something has happened to me.
Yeah.
And I went to my room and I think I just went to sleep or something. Like, I was just so, it was so bizarre. And
you've been born again.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like a few weeks later, my friend invited me to go to a worship service with her, and they were singing that song, I Finally Found Where I Belong. And then I read the verse about, you know, being born again and stuff. And I felt like, oh my gosh, that's it, you know?
Amen. I'm so happy that happened for you. Honestly, I love hearing stuff like that. I love testimonies. Okay. So let's get to universal creation, or I'm sorry, universal. I'm sorry. Hold on. What? Okay. You're good. Okay. Let's get to universal reconciliation. Describe to the listeners what that means and what it is.
Okay. Well, to me, I just feel like it's the gospel, but, sorry, I'm trying to open up my computer here. Okay. Well, basically it just means that Jesus literally died for the whole world, that he did what the Bible says that he did, that he who knew no sin became sin so that we would become the children of God. All of Romans 5 is constantly pushing in different ways. Paul is reiterating, because of what Adam did, the world inherited sin. Death reigned as king from the time of Adam to Jesus. And then now, because of what Jesus has done, he undid everything that we inherited because of the fall. Not only did he undo all of that, but he's overflowing abundance upon us as well.
Okay. And so dumb it down for me. I just want to make sure I understand you. So that means like everyone, even if someone's a practicing Satanist and they pass away, even if a person curses God right now and hates him, says he hates him, that you believe all those people are reconciled to God, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And they just don't know it.
Okay. And they don't know it. And so they'll receive the same gifts, or I guess they wouldn't receive the same rewards as us, but they get to go to heaven with everybody else.
Yeah, they're saved. Whether they receive it or not, it's been done. It's been poured out upon everybody. Now, when we receive it here, we get to experience it. And so I am still very evangelistic. Some people who believe in universalism or whatever, they think, you know, all religions lead to heaven. Even though I believe that everyone is saved, I don't just sit back and do nothing, because that's not what love does. I was deceived and I was lost and I was missing out. Jesus preached about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wants us to experience the kingdom of heaven on earth now, not just when we die. And so I still love to share the gospel, because I want people to be set free here and now. I want them to experience the love of God here and now, so that they're not living undefeated and perishing in this life.
Okay, before I get into more questions. Oh my gosh, I just lost it. I just lost it. Okay, go ahead, Larry. I had a question.
Do you have a Bible handy, hon?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you do me a favor and look up John 3:18?
3:18.
John 3:18.
Okay. Looking here, I got John 3 already open on my computer and 18 right there. Okay. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
So she already knew you were going to say that, is what she's saying. Okay, she's got something prepared for you.
Buddy. I actually didn't. That was probably Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Okay. Well, the only thing is, yes, if you go back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He loved the world so much that he wanted to give everyone an opportunity. And so he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. But 3:18 says that if you don't, then you're standing condemned. And it's not...
Yeah, they are. They're reaping condemnation.
Right.
That is their experience, is condemnation. But it's not an eternal thing.
Right, exactly. It's not an eternal thing. They can come to know the Lord. It does require one thing, that whosoever believes in him. It requires that, because we got to believe in Jesus for him to be asked into our heart, right?
But see, I get where you're coming from, because I it's not like I came into this. I used to be just non-denominational, and I said a lot of the things that I heard some of you saying in the TikTok stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You didn't start off this way. That's what my question was that I lost earlier, was how did you come into this?
Yeah. So it came because after I went back home from the mountains, I went back to that church and I soaked up everything that they told me. You know, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about Jesus, but I was seeing the kingdom of God moving in, like happening in my life.
Yes.
And then I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I started to see actual power of God moving in my life. You know, I started to see miracles, signs and wonders all the time, and just confirmations of the scriptures and that Jesus is God. But there was still so much I was missing. And I just was a parrot of my pastor. I was a parrot of the co-pastors. And I just listened to sermons all the time because I still wasn't quite like driven to just read through the Bible for myself, until after I had been a Christian for about a year and a half, my whole church, they were all or nothing. And that was their motto, all or nothing. And they wanted to read the whole Bible in the book of February.
No.
Yeah.
I'm out on that. I'm all for reading the Bible quick, but I'm out on 1 month.
Were they all speed readers?
And why'd they pick the shortest month?
Yeah, the shortest month.
That's stupid. Okay.
Exactly. That's just how they were, very extreme in everything they did, you know. But it was great because God used that. And I had memorized the Romans Road because I went to one of their ministry schools and we went out and evangelized and that kind of stuff. So I had the Romans Road memorized. And I would go and I would stand on, you know, a stool and I would speak into a megaphone and yell at people about how all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and, you know, all of those verses. Well, when we were reading through the Bible in February and I got to Romans, and for some reason I got all giddy. I was like, oh, I know the verse that's coming up. It's so silly, but, you know, for the way, no, which one is it? For all of sin is fallen short of the glory of God, which I would say to people all the time. Well, then I read the very next verse that says, but now all have been made righteous through the one man, Jesus Christ. And my jaw dropped.
Give me that verse.
All right. Hold on, let me look it up here. It's either Romans 3:23 or 6:23. I'm trying to.
Romans 3:23 is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so Romans 6:23 is,
for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus.
And so we're all going to pay the wage of death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So is that like your main verse that you're that you hang your metaphorical hat on, essentially, of this belief system?
No. Okay. There's many scriptures, and mostly the whole chapter of Romans 5 is what I hone in on. But there's a lot more than that. All of Paul's letters is always constantly reiterating this, that this is the gospel, that he's been given the ministry of reconciliation, going into all the world and telling everybody that they've been reconciled to God.
But what's
that
the point?
The mystery of the ages.
What's the point, though?
The point is so that we're united with our Father. The point is so that we're not living as orphans anymore. So that we don't have to live in this world as orphans. You know, if a parent is separated from their child, or if a spouse is separated from their other spouse, you know, and I say that because, you know, God, our relationship with God parallels, as we are the bride of Christ. We are also children of God. There's so many different parallels of how we have a relationship with God and how we can experience God. But, you know, if we're separated from a loved one, you want to be reunited with them as soon as possible. You want them to know that they're loved. You want them to know that you're always there for them, that you're not forgetting about them and leaving them to their own devices.
Yeah. So here's, okay. So I respect all my guests that I have on, even people that believe in the exact opposite of what we do. But I'm also completely honest with all my guests too. So I just want you to afford me, and then this will be kind of my last question for you in particular to this. But let's say, okay, I just want to pretend that you're wrong for a second. And I'm going to ask you if this is a concern of yours. Okay. Are you not concerned by you teaching people this, that it might lead people astray, or it might let people stay in their sin and not come to know God? But that's only applies if you're wrong. Do you ever think about that?
Oh yeah. Yes, I do. And I'm constantly open and I'm constantly saying, God, I don't want to lead anyone astray. And I ask him to, you know, for confirmation. And I'm constantly seeing more and more scriptures that affirm this is true. And you didn't say it, but the next verse after Romans 3:23, it says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So that was the verse that I read where my jaw dropped.
For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, well, because I just Googled it. Hold on. Let me click on this. Next verse. and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Yeah. And in that moment, it wasn't just like, oh, this is something that I can use to do whatever I want. It was totally God showing me that I hadn't been reading the word for myself and that I had lost context and that I had lost sight of his true character. And from that point on, it's been a journey of him showing me where he was at in my life when I was in sin and how he was never not with me, that he was never condemning me, that he was always for me and not against me. And when it comes to leading people astray, this is the argument that Paul got all the time. Constantly people saying, so are you saying that now, because grace abounds, that we can continue in sin? And he is constantly saying, no.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. So that just means that they obviously do not get the gospel. Because when you encounter the kingdom of heaven, you don't even desire those things anymore. Your mind is being renewed. You realize that you've been given the mind of Christ. The Bible says that we've been given the mind of Christ. Paul is constantly talking about how we need to renew our minds to our identity in Christ.
Yeah.
And he says, I didn't get that verse written out here, but Paul says that he was given the ministry of reconciliation. And I think maybe it's in Hebrews. It says that it's the mystery of the ages that has been hidden until now. What is the mystery? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
So
what's the what does the will of God mean to you? What does the will of God, because Jesus talks about the will of God like so much, like a ridiculous amount. He talks about the will of God. So what is the will of God to you? Is it a side quest? Is it optional? Is it something that you can or can't do? What does the will of God mean to you?
This is amazing because I've never gone through and talked about this or written this out like as a topic. And that was something I was going to say. To encourage people, look up all the verses about the will of God. And I have it written right here. I said many verses in the Bible say that God will accomplish all that he wills, all that he desires and that he plans, he will accomplish it. Okay, so then there's some scriptures here. Oh, also the fact that his will and desire that he says all the way from Genesis through Revelation is that he desires that no one perish. And that he will go after the one until they are found. He's not going to give up on the one that's lost.
So you believe in a form of predestination then?
Yeah, I believe that everybody has been predestined to be in him because all things are created by him, for him, and through him.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so here I'm going to tell you how this show works at the end, okay? I don't know if you watched one all the way to the end yet. So here's how it works. I'm going to say something in closing. Larry's going to say something in closing. And then you, because you're our guest, you're going to get the floor at the end to tell us something. And then we'll go from there. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say mine. As far as this conversation goes, I just want to say that I think your story's beautiful. And I think that moment where God changed your mind, I think that's so wonderful. And I'm sorry you went through that stuff. I'm sure it was very hard on you. You seem very sweet. I've watched some of your TikTok lives and stuff like that. You're very sweet. I am concerned that I've never heard of this. I've never had a conversation with someone that believes in what you believe in. And so it does.
I used to have called myself a heretic. So I totally understand where you're coming from. It's fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't, I don't like drawing conclusions like that or saying like, oh, you're misleading people, you're sending people to hell. I don't like talking to people like that, man. I think we're all on the same path. And that's all I'll say is that it concerns me for you, but you've done your ample research and you've gone on top of a hill that you're willing to die on. So I'm not ready to condemn you for that. You know what I mean? And so, it does concern me. It concerns me that it might be like, I'm like, man, what if she's wrong? And then, you know, she's taken a teacher position and then, you know, but I don't know. I'm just hoping that you just sure do seem like that. repentance changed your mind in that situation, yeah. and you experienced that the intake of the Holy Spirit. So that's all I'll say. Thank you for coming on the show. It wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be, was it?
No. Okay. Well, I didn't think it was going to be bad. No, okay. But.
Well, a lot of Christians, when you come on this podcast and you don't believe it in the same, when you go on Christians' podcast and you don't believe in the same thing, it gets kind of rowdy. And then, so I understand why people get nervous, but we're just not that way. So thank you for coming on, and I'll pass it over to Larry now.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to slide into two different verses just to kind of point out a couple of things that was pointed out to me while we were talking. I believe one of them is the Romans 6:15, where you said, Paul kind of writes, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And Paul says, by no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone, you obey him as slaves? You are the slave to the one you obey, whether you are a slave to the sin or which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So right there in itself, Paul's telling you, if you follow that path of the sin and you continually stay in that path, then you're going to come to death.
Yep.
And we're talking about spiritual death. We're not talking about physical death. But if you walk into the right way, then that leads you into righteousness in eternity.
Yep. Okay.
All right. So you're familiar with that one. And then I went back to John 3:36. It says, whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him.
Where was that, Larry? I'm sorry.
John 3:36.
John 3:36?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Now with
there's other translations that doesn't say God's wrath. It says wrath. And so that's them reaping what they're sowing. That's them experiencing what you experience when you don't have Jesus as your Lord and like Savior. And you know that when you don't have relationship with him, that, yeah, you will experience that. That's why I still believe it's important to preach about Jesus.
No, it is important. I mean, we are actually told that's called the Great Commission. We are told to go out there and testify with people about the difference between living for the world and living for him. So, I mean, I love your heart.
It's about telling people what Jesus has done for them.
Yes.
And, you know, you brought up the will of God, and since I already wrote that out because I felt God say that, I want to share these verses right here. It says that no one can come to Christ unless the Father who sent him draws him.
Yes.
And then in John 12:32, he says, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all mankind unto myself. And so, you know, I don't want to cut you off. He said, I'll get my turn. So.
No. Well, he was kind of playing those as questions anyway. So. Larry, do you have a final statement, or do you have any more verses you wanted to bring up, or any more final statements?
Yeah, I mean, I could keep going, but I won't. I do respect A, that you're sharing the word of the Lord. B, your testimony is beautiful. It truthfully is. And it touched my heart in ways that I truthfully would love to hear those words coming out of my daughter's mouth. You know what I'm saying? You're like 33, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I did the math with all the little statements that you gave me, and I was hoping I was correct. I'm offering to have you check us out online if you don't mind. Go to discoveryChurchOKC.org.
Are you a part of a church right now, Audrey?
No, she is, but you can watch online. It doesn't matter what time it would.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. Okay. I don't think she answered that, did she? Are you a part of a UC church or UR church right now?
I have community like all over the world that I fellowship with, and we go on mission trips together and stuff, but I don't belong to a specific church locally, because I see it as how we are all the church of God, or, you know, the body of Christ.
Okay.
Now, yeah. I've seen the building here around me that preached the gospel and the good news and not condemnation and all that stuff, then I would definitely go. But I myself am an ordained minister, and so me and my husband do a lot of ministry, and we work with other people from all over the world that believe this stuff and preach this because it's transformed our lives, and we've seen the power of it, of how Jesus proves it. You know, like you said, I'm willing to go on the top of that hill to die on top of that hill, but that's the thing, is that I don't have to. Jesus did it for us, and what he did, what he did is big enough and it's long suffering enough that he will see it through to the end.
I'm not denying that Jesus could do that. I'm not, I'm not denying that Jesus could do that. I'm not denying the power, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's just very, honestly, before you, I didn't even know that this belief system existed. I didn't even know it existed, but apparently.
Right. You don't hear them preach very often. And I didn't believe him, and I was very against anything that seemed like that because of, I just wasn't hearing it preached. But when I started to read the scriptures for myself and in context of seeing where the letters are being written to and just everything like that.
And you came to this on your own. You didn't hear it on YouTube first. You didn't hear it at a church first. Nobody planted the seed in your ear. You were reading the scriptures.
I actually became very offended towards it. So I did hear about it back in around 2010. And I got very offended because I did see people take it wrongly and they started to, you know, fall into sin or whatever. But then over the years, as I just have grown in intimacy with the Lord and reading the word, and I love theology, I love getting into Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew. And through my own personal encounters that I've had with Jesus, where my life was transformed, this is what it's come to. And then he's brought about other teachers. Now I see that there are so many people that believe this, like C.S. Lewis, George MacDonald, J.R.R. Tolkien, like some of the best fantasy authors. People love their stories because it has this overarching spiritual truth behind it that we don't hear in a lot of places.
Well, and Pastor Gary said that. I'm sorry, Pastor Gary said that there was a big time preacher that left the church he was at and became a universal reconciliationist as well. There's a big pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma that had a mega church essentially. And he left there because of, you know, obviously they weren't going to accept his new belief system. So he left.
Yeah. Well, but really,
the people of the early church, it was over 400 years or so before people started preaching hell and that people would go to eternal torment or anything. Before that, it was all inclusion. Yeah. That Jesus literally undid what Adam did. And there's so many verses that talk about the restoration of all things all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Acts 3:21 says that Jesus is the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Anyways, there's so many verses about it, and all of it actually helps paint a better picture of understanding the character of God and how there is no contradiction. So there's a few verses that hone in on something that could be interpreted as eternal separation or hell or these types of things, but as you look more into the Hebraic culture, what they taught, and then things like that, you see that was never even in their like belief system, and that a lot of that stuff came in later on in the Roman and Greek era with Aristotle, or I can't remember all those Greek names, but some famous Greek teacher, and he brought in eternal punishment. But before that, everyone in the church was preaching universal salvation.
Okay.
It says over the years that he died for the world, that he became
sin. You're going to get your final statement here in a minute, and we're kind of going off the beaten path here, but it's fine. It's fine. It's a podcast. Okay. You know how podcasting works. But, okay, so what is Satan's role in the world today then? Obviously, Satan still exists. I can see it every day in what I do. I'm sure you believe that as well, right? Satan exists. Why is, what is he trying to dismantle if everybody's already saved? What is he trying to destroy? Is he here just to pester us, or why is he trying to stop something from happening?
Well, we've been given life, right? This life is a beautiful gift that we've been given. God wants to restore heaven and earth. The Bible says that when all of Israel believes, that the earth will be restored. And so I believe that it's to keep us from believing who we are, to keep us from experiencing full reconciliation. Like, it's happened throughout eternity, but we're not experiencing it without knowing Jesus. That's why I still say, like, we need to know who Jesus is and we need to receive him, because then you actually experience relationship with him.
Okay.
This life is not given to us so that we wallow in misery and make death our savior. He wants to be our savior now so that we can be a beacon to the world that he is alive and he is real and that he can live in us, and we get to have that union with God. And so the devil steals, kills, and destroys. You know, he spreads lies. And from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, it was because they doubted that they were already made in the image and likeness of God. It's not like they went off and committed adultery with someone, or they killed someone, you know, even though Cain and Abel did, or that happened with Cain and Abel late after that. But between, you know, the moment that sin first came into the world, all it was that God said, don't eat from this. And they did it because they thought that they were not like God. If you eat this fruit, then you'll be like God. But they already were made in the image and likeness of God. They were already his children. And he came to them. And this is a life-changing thing for me too, is when they sinned, they are the ones that went and hid themselves from him. He came to them. It wasn't like, oh no, you sinned, I cannot be in your presence, I cannot be around you, I'm casting you out of the garden. He came to them looking for them, and they are the ones that hid themselves from him. And then he meets us in our darkness and clothes us with the Lamb of God to help wash away our sin, help wash away our shame, to bring us back to restoration, to bring everything back into its original intent. You know, that's the purpose of the gospel. It's the purpose of Jesus. Like, if my kid, I mean, even went a week thinking that I hated their guts and that I would turn my back on them ever, I would do everything I could to, like, convince them that, no, I unconditionally love you and I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Because relationship is everything. It's the whole basis of life. It's everything revolved around the family.
Now, I get what you're saying. We like to we like to show the love of God in your example of Adam and Eve right there. But also, I want you to keep in mind that he enlisted some pretty serious punishments with that action as well. You know, with the 9 months pregnancy, the man having to work until he dies to provide for his family. And there's just a multitude of other ones there, but he did enact punishments there for what they had done as well.
Yeah, because they were living according to the flesh at that point. They chose to live according to the flesh. And so there's so many types and shadows of us living under the dominion of sin and what that reaps onto our life. And that is why when Jesus came, he showed us that, you know, or he told us that he fulfilled the law, and that if we really want to live by the law or God's will, that the whole law is summed up in loving God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
That God is love, and that they had lost sight of who God really was. And that's why he had to come to show us the true heart of the Father. And you read the parable of the prodigal son, you know, and there's just so many parables that Jesus told about the treasure, the hidden treasure, the lost coin, the sheep. That right there is proving that he won't give up on the one that thinks that, or that goes off in their loss. He will not give up on them. Also, they belonged to him in the first place. We all belong to him in the first place.
Yes, he is our creator. Yes, he does love each and every one of us. And we definitely need to have a relationship. And when we are in a relationship with Christ, we choose to walk the path that he has laid before us. I'm a firm believer in all of that, every bit of it. And I'm thanking you for, you know, you're out there witnessing to people. You are telling them about God's love. You are treating them with love and respect when you're talking to them. That's all that we can do is put a love for our brother ahead of us. And it is showing true love when we lay our life down for our brothers in the manner of we've set aside our relaxation or whatever, you know, to actually go out there in the world and witness to people and talk about Jesus and that he does love them. And that part is definite. You know, God does love each and every person on this planet. And his sacrifice was, in fact, for each and every person on this planet, then and now. And all they have to do is believe in him. That's it.
So what about Hebrews 12:8? God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children. It means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. So the reason why I bring up that Bible verse is because inside of that Bible verse, one can draw a reasonable conclusion that not everyone is a child of God, because it says that God only disciplines his children. So if you're not being disciplined, it means you're not a child of God. I think it's reasonable to ascertain that not everyone's a child of God, right?
They're not experiencing it. A child of God would be someone that they know that God is their father and they submit to God's leading. They submit to God's will.
Yes.
But someone that has turned away would be like the prodigal son that went and squandered everything. That would be someone that doesn't understand true grace and the real gospel, and they think that it's a license to sin. You know, they'll go out and squander everything, but then they come back to him and then they begin to live life experiencing God as their father. I think it's a circumstantial thing to prove a point. If you don't live life and receive Jesus and God as your father, then you're going to be dominated by sin. You're going to be dominated by the devil.
Yeah.
But that's not God's will for us. And at any moment, all it takes is the renewing of the mind to see that God is good, that God loves us, and that he never turned away from us. He's always waiting for us to come back home.
Okay. All right. I got you. Okay. We're at 1:26. Give us a final statement. And Audrey, don't forget to put the name of your podcast, where we can find you. And then also send me a message on TikTok. Sending me any links that you'd like to put in any show notes. I would like to promote your show because I know you don't want to come on here and waste an hour and a half of your time for nothing. So make sure.
I don't think it's for nothing. You know, it's the good news.
Yeah. I enjoyed having a conversation with you. So give us a quick little final statement, and then where we can find all your stuff at.
Okay. Well, I would say that, you know, Jesus on the cross is a perfect example of the Trinity's heart towards us, Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, and how we crucified him. He was on the cross, and we were sitting at him, cursing him, mocking him. And yet he says, I forgive you. You don't know what you're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He knew that in our ignorance, we cannot be held accountable, because we make decisions out of pain and hurt, and these are finite circumstances versus eternity. But what is eternal is his love. What is eternal is that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. And so I just would encourage people to try and discern if what you believe concerning this stuff, is it a doctrine that you were taught, or is it all scriptural lining up together where there's no contradiction? Because to me, as I have grown in reading the Bible and digging into Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek, I see more and more confirmation that this is the gospel than what most of the American church is preaching today. Because it will bring you a lot of freedom into really understanding the true heart of God as your father.
Okay. Fair enough. And where can everybody find you at?
Well, I've got my website, www.eatmedrinkmepodcast.net, and I'm on TikTok as Eat Me Drink Me Pod, and I'm on Facebook Audrey Dutton. I don't mind putting it out there because I just love to help people when I can.
Okay, wonderful. And don't forget to message me all that. Message me all that too so I can put it in the show notes for you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, girly. Thank you for coming on. God bless you. And
really appreciated it. Thank you.
Yep.
Man, God bless you. And, you know, keep sharing the word. Keep sharing God's Thank love.
You. Okay.
Thank you. Bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that, what she's saying. I'm not saying that, but it's like, it's so weird whenever somebody gets so close to something and like, they're able to like, I don't see how you can take Hebrews 12:8, what I just read, and turn it into a universal reconciliation verse. That's my problem.
Well, a lot of what she said, kind, you know, falls in line with the exception that you have to believe in Jesus. I mean, really, yeah. Everything else was spot on. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's so close.
But see, when you have a relationship with Christ, you choose not to follow the world. Okay? I mean, that is a thing, that the love of Christ in you starts separating you from the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I no longer watch secular TV. I don't watch sports. I don't ride a Harley anymore, even though I'm wearing a Harley visor today. I don't do those things because they led me down a wrong path. And yes, the motorcycle goes where I want it to go.
I was going to say, do you think riding a motorcycle is causing you to live in sin?
No, but it led me to ride with the other people, and almost every poker run out there, well, first off, poker run. Secondly,
I just it's thought of
from bar
dude.
To bar to bar to bar to bar.
I want to see you in a Kiss costume, dude. I just think it would fit you. Like a Gene Simmons Kiss costume, dude.
Like,
How much would I have to pay you to
Gene's
get you in
Gene's not
one of
much older than I am.
I know.
Okay.
How much would I, be honest, how much would I have to pay you to get you in a Kiss costume?
No.
All right, type in the comments if you want to see Larry in a Kiss costume.
No, not going to happen. Now, back in the 80s, I would have done that in a heartbeat, but that is, no.
Type in the comments.
No, but if I'm going to emulate any person that ever walked on this planet, then I would need to emulate Jesus Christ.
I wouldn't want to do that either.
And I tried to emulate Jesus with loving others.
Well, I don't think
as much as I possibly can.
I don't think Jesus wears visors. I'm just being honest with you.
He doesn't. Or he didn't, because they didn't have them back then.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this right now, okay? And maybe this, I shouldn't say this, but I want to say it. I hope she's right, because I don't want anybody to go to hell. I hope she's right. I just don't know, with the information that we have, that we read in the Bible, I don't know that she is.
Satan's here to still kill and destroy. Jesus himself spoke about hell.
Yeah.
I mean, he spoke about hell more than he spoke about heaven.
Well, heaven, it says in the Bible that hell was created for Satan and his angels, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
It, no matter what, there's still that place.
And God doesn't want any human to go there.
Yeah.
He does. Just, he did not create you to go to hell. No. He created you to be part of him and to go to heaven. And each and every one. Hey, if you're going to talk that loud, put it on the microphone so we can all hear you.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things that, I don't know. I hope she's right. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell.
I don't either.
You know? It does, like, I have that kind of pride in me, those people that, like, persecute me and stuff like that. But it says that Jesus is going to make his enemies his footstool. Who's his enemies? You know what I mean? Like
you still have to separate believer from unbeliever.
Yeah.
I mean, it says whosoever believeth. Therefore, if you believe, then you are a believer. If you do not believe, you are an unbeliever. And there is a separation there.
Yeah.
And Satan does everything he can do to make you lose faith, lose hope, and lose belief. That's what his job is, to still kill and destroy your hope and your belief in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's it for us today. That was episode 13, something like that.
Yes.
Okay. That was a good show. I don't remember who we're having on next week. I can't remember. I think we're having Jessica, or her name's Pagan Mama. We're having a pagan witch come on next week, I believe.
Well, I was hoping that you weren't going to ask me for direction because I get it all from you. I don't know.
Larry, she's the redhead.
Okay.
And she knows what you said, too.
That's fine. I actually,
and if she doesn't remember, I'm going to remind her.
It was mentioned at Ambassadors today.
The redhead?
Yeah, well, a couple of the ladies had mentioned about the redhead. So I know that some of them are watching it, yes.
Did you see that clip? And you're like, that son of a gun put that clip out there.
Yes, I haven't had any repercussions yet, but I'm sure that I will.
I'm going to remind that pagan witch of Jessica. I'm going to remind her of what you said. So.
I didn't say anything negative. I just said that I know about redheads.
You said I was married to a redhead.
I was married to two different redheads. Uh-huh. I dated buku redheads. My aunts, my grandmother was redhead. I have three aunts, maybe four aunts that were redheaded.
So you got them like the back of your hand, you know.
Dude, yeah. I've been around redheads all my life.
Okay? Gotcha.
I know old ones and I know young ones. Okay. And I have a granddaughter that's redhead, by the way.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching so much. I know we ran about an hour and a half. So that you people that wanted a longer episode, here you go. Let me know what you think about it.
We took care of it for you.
Let us know if you want longer episodes or what. But thank you all for watching. We love you. We are out.
Thank you. I'll take you
home. Thank you so much for listening to the Help My Unbelief podcast. Please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And more importantly, tune in every Tuesday at 9 a.m. for new episodes.